You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from theheart.org on Medscape.
Hi, everyone. This is John Mandrola from theheart.org on Medscape. This is This Week in Cardiology for June 12, 2015. This week, I'm talking about the PCSK9 inhibitors, DPP-4 inhibitors in type 2 diabetic patients with heart disease, the possible risk of myocardial infarction with proton pump inhibitors, and the role of stress in cardiovascular disease. This week, an FDA committee recommended approval for evacumab and alirocumab. Committee members felt that the potential benefits of these drugs outweighed any potential safety concerns, especially in patients with high-risk situations such as familial hypercholesterolemia. The FDA usually, but not always, follows the advice of the advisory committee. A definitive decision on this is likely this summer. And this class of drugs and the story is fascinating. I mean, we know that people with a rare genetic variant, a DNA sequence variant that encodes for the gene PCSK9, have very low levels of LDL and low levels of heart disease. So what do? You develop a monoclonal antibody that simulates that genetic variant. And that's exactly what the companies that make these drugs have done. And the biology is nifty, but the clinical science is so early. Yes, it's true. These subcutaneously delivered drugs lower LDL levels a lot. And in short-term studies, the drugs appear mostly safe, although in both Odyssey and Osler studies, there was a small signal for cognitive problems in the patients who got the drugs. But post-hoc analyses of cardiovascular outcomes in both these trials look slightly favorable for the PCSK9 inhibitors. But the number of events were small, and these studies were not outcomes trials. They were mostly safety trials. So that's why my take of these drugs is that it's way too early to say. It's more than likely that there'll be positive improvements in cardiovascular outcomes, but maybe not. Maybe the benefit will be really small, or maybe the benefit will be outweighed by adverse consequences of the drugs. And there's also significant unknowns about patient selection. For sure, there's clearly an unmet need in patients with familial hypercholesterolemia. For them, the gamble of these drugs look favorable. Another favorable group of patients are the really high-risk secondary prevention patients who are truly statin intolerant. And that's key, truly statin intolerant, because that's a gray area. And I believe unless approval of these drugs comes with strict wording, indication creep is likely. Now I want to talk about value. Value is benefit over cost. And here we have a big problem because we don't know the benefits of PCSK9 inhibitors. We don't even know if there is a benefit. But we surely know that there'll be high cost. These drugs will be expensive. So I ask you to put your public hat on for a second and consider these three givens. One, heart disease is clearly a huge public health problem. There exist disparities in cardiac care in the public realm, and we do not have unlimited funds. There is a limited budget. So the problem is, who should pay for these drugs? Should we ask patients to shoulder part of the cost? And which, of course, would force patients into making a value judgment. For instance, every patient would have to ask, is it worth taking an exciting but unproven medicine? But the downside of that is if we force patients to pay part of the cost, that only increases the disparities in cardiac care, for only the rich would be able to afford these drugs. Yet, I don't think we can afford to pay for these drugs on a grand scale. I mean, some experts have estimated that there's going to be billions of dollars of sales of these drugs. And if we try to pay for these drugs on a grand scale, what would be the results of taking those funds away from potential other benefits beneficial programs, say building parks or bike lanes or other lifestyle intervention programs, for instance, in the schools. So however the PCSK9 inhibitor story turns out, whether it's an epic class of medicines that change cardiovascular care forever or an epic failure, this is surely early in the story, and it's going to be really great for those of us who are curious and care about cardiovascular care. So speaking of surrogates and cardiovascular outcomes, let's move to the DPP-4 inhibitors. In patients with type 2 diabetes and heart disease, the use of sitagliptin, which is Januvia, a DPP-4 inhibitor used to lower hemoglobin A1C, was not associated with any cardiovascular harm. And these were the findings of the TECOS, T-E-C-O-S trial that was presented recently at ADA meeting and published simultaneously in the New England Journal of Medicine. This is an important study because previous studies have suggested a signal for an increase in heart failure hospitalizations with this class of medications. There was no such finding in a TECOS trial. But TECOS was designed as a non-inferiority trial, but it ended up having enough patients and enough statistical power to detect superiority. But that did not happen. There were no cardiovascular advantages to sitagliptin, and previous studies of other classes of these medications, for instance, the SAVOR trial and EXAMINE trial, did not show any cardiovascular benefits of DPP-4 inhibitors. So this is remarkable, isn't it? The best we can say about these medications that are taken by millions of people is that they don't cause cardiovascular harm. That's it. I spoke with one of our diabetes doctors here, and he said the likely reason that TECOS was negative and neutral was that glycemic control was so similar in both groups, which he felt is key. But he also made me keenly aware of how you lower blood glucose and control blood glucose may matter. For instance, he was concerned about giving insulin to patients who are already hyperinsulinemic. And likewise, he was also concerned about the sulfonylureas, which he likened to the effect on the pancreas that digoxin has on heart failure patients, just increasing pancreatic function, which may not be beneficial in the long run. Since we're on medications of unknown value, let me move to an interesting study on proton pump inhibitors and the risk of myocardial infarction. This was a data mining study in which Stanford researchers studied more than 16 million medical records on 2.9 million patients. And they found that patients with GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, who took PPIs had a 16% increased risk of MI. And in addition, they noted a twofold higher hazard ratio for cardiovascular mortality in patients on PPIs. This study is worth a look because it looked at a broader population of patients, not just those who had heart disease and who were taking clopidogrel. It also makes me think about the gut-heart interaction, a relationship. And you know there's a gut-heart relationship. Yes, this is an association study, and the authors point out that they can't show cause, but there may be confounding variables. But I find it interesting because I'm concerned about proton pump inhibitor overuse. For instance, one of the dumbest things I've ever heard from a drug-sponsored lecture was that if a patient who was taking dabigatran had GI reflux or esophageal issues, that was easy. You just put them on a proton pump inhibitor indefinitely. And I thought, really? Take a drug to treat another drug's side effect? And that sort of strategy is the reason why we have such a problem with polypharmacy these days. I'm no GI expert, but the little I know about gastroesophageal reflux disease suggests that diet and lifestyle interventions are critically important, as they are in heart disease. And finally, I want to mention a really great feature story that we had up on the heart.org on Medscape this week. Dr. Stephen DeVries is a preventative cardiologist in Chicago, and he taped a fantastic session on the relationship of stress, emotions, and the heart. Dr. DeVries is well-spoken, he's brief, and he mentions important studies that I think can be used on an everyday basis with patients. I mean, how many times have we heard patients report a temporal relationship of stress and their arrhythmia? For instance, I was drawn to a really cool research letter in JACC. Professor Rachel Lampert from Yale and her colleagues published a small study in which they found that negative emotions, including anger, anxiety, stress, sadness, can trigger symptomatic AF episodes, whereas happiness can be protective. Now, I know that stress management isn't as cool as PCSK9 drugs or catheter ablation or TAVR, but I believe that at least recognizing that stress is important has a critically important role in helping our patients be healthier. So that's it for this week in cardiology. Until next week, this is John Mandrola from the Heart.org on Medscape.
You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from the Heart.org on Medscape.